Charlene even got into too. Interesting book.
I'm 4 pages in the introduction. So.
By then,
but yeah. So okay. Far, it's very interesting.
We're supposed to speak about Matanas Lavioni. So we'll begin. I don't know whether we'll complete the job. If we get into a little time trouble, so maybe we'll continue next week. That was Akiva's suggestion.
Right?
Next week's Tansester, so we'll try to speak about that next week if we don't. The Matanas Lavioni. So Matanas Lavioni has its roots in Megillas Esther. And the interesting thing, of course, is the contrast between the psukim, the one that included and the ones that do not. In the end of Megillas Esther, so the policy, you know, is set as to what will be the future, how will this will be observed and commemorated. And we're told, B'yom shloshasar l'chodesh adar, v'noach bar basar bo, v'asa oso yom mishteh v'simcha, v'ayudim asher v'shushan nikalu v'shloshasar bo, v'arba asar bo, v'noach v'chamish asar bo, v'asa oso yom mishteh v'simcha. So we're told that this is what happened. And Al-Kain, Ayuhudim Aprazim, Ayoshim, Bariyah Prazos, Osim Es Yom Arbaas Al-Khadish Adar, Simcha, Umishte V'Yom Tov, Umishloach Manos Yishlareyev. This is the Pasuk, the famous Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Tes, the initial formulation of what Chag Ha, or in that case we could say it, Chag HaPurim was supposed to be. And it was supposed to be a day of Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov, and Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. Then, when the messengers went out, Vayichta Mordechai Sadvorim Haylo, Vayishlach Sfarim, Kol HaYehudim, Asher B'chol Medinos HaMelech, Achash Verosh, HaKrovim V'Harachokim, L'Kayem Aleihem L'Yos Osim Eis Yom Arbas L'Chodesh Adar, V'Yisrim Chamish Yosir Bar B'chol Shana V'Shana, Kayimim Asher Nachu Bahem HaYehudim Ve'Oyvehem, Achodesh Asher Nefach Lehem Yagon L'Simcha, Able Yom Tov Lasos Osam, and then the formulation that emerged was Yimei Mishta V'Simcha U'Mishloach Manos Yishlarei U'Matanos La'ev Yonim. So finally, in Pasuk Chav Beis, as opposed to Yud Tes and even earlier Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, Yud Zayin and Yud Ches are simply Mishta V'Simcha. Yud Tes is Mishta V'Simcha. I'm sorry, Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov U'Mishloach Manos, and it's only in Chav Beis that you have the formulation of Mishta v'Simcha, Mishloach Manos Yishlareyehu, and finally Matanos La'avyon. Okay. The question is it significant that this is omitted initially and then it was inserted later on, or not? Of course, there are two other changes, as we've noted in other years, and they are the formulation of Yom Tov, which appears in Pasuk Yotes and doesn't appear in the final version of Pasuk Chapes. As far as that's concerned, the Gemara in Megillah zeroes in on that change and basically says that Gemara Daf Hamad Beis in Megillah that during the initial suggestion was that Purim was supposed to be a Yom Tov and it would have Isur Malacha, and on that basis it would have been, you know, problematic to do certain things on that day, Netiyah, Shal, Simcha, and other things included. However, once they changed their mind and they reformulated, they dropped the Yom Tov, so there's an Iser, the Iser Malacha was dropped because it's not a Yom Tov. Yom Tov means Iser Malacha. It's interesting to know that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, of course, even though we don't believe that there's an Iser Malacha on Purim, do, of course, record that Kala Osa Malacha B'Purim in Aroa Simin Bracha. Questions whether that isn't an echo of the concept of a Yom Tov or not, but that's not for the moment. There's another difference, and that is the order of Mishta V'Simcha. That's a more subtle difference. I don't know if people pick up on that very much. It always concerned me. Earlier, the Pasuk says, the Pesukim earlier, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, are Mishta V'Simcha. Then the transition, Al-Kain HaYehudim, in terms of the future commemoration, was going to be Simcha U'Mishta. Yom Tov, the Simcha came before the Mishnah, and then, of course, Mishloach Manos Yishlareyehu. In the final version of Pasuk Chav Beis, so it is, the Yom Tov was dropped, as we already explained, but also it went back and reverted back to Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha, U'Mishloach Manos Yishlareyehu, Matanos La'ev Yonim. So the Pasuk, which includes Matanos La'ev Yonim, basically has two changes from the earlier version. One is the dropping of Yom Tov, and the second one is the reversing of Mishta v'Simcha and Simcha u'Mishta. We've suggested in the past that there's a difference between Mishta and Simcha, or Simcha and Mishta, and that is because, I think, Mishta v'Simcha is basically the idea that the Simcha flows from the Mishta, and the Seuda, therefore, is very, 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 very prominent. On the other hand, if it's Simcha Mishta, basically what you mean is that it's a Yom Simcha, and it expresses itself. Mishta is an expression. It's not the source of Simcha, and it's not necessarily even the primary Simcha. It is maybe the most visible manifestation. So it's a huge difference, in my opinion, subtle but huge, to the emphasis of Mishta v'Simcha, Simcha Mishta. If you call something a Yom Tov, then basically you're saying it's a Yom Simcha, and that expresses itself in Mishta. But if you say something is not a Yom Tov, so where does its Simcha come from? So you need to stimulate the Simcha more artificially. You don't have the Lifnei Hashem of Kedushas Hayom. So that's where you have Mishta v'Simcha, and that may affect, you know, what the nature of that meal is, and how, I guess, raucous it is to some extent, how, you know, physical side or the heightening of one's physical consciousness is a part of it, and so on and so forth. Whether the, you know, whether Adla Yadan and so on would have been part of the Simcha Mishta or is only confined to the Mishta of the Simcha is like an intriguing question that we would want to find out about, you know, if we ever could. I don't know if anybody ever writes about that specifically. I say, now it should be noted here also, and maybe there's a pattern here, that the Rambam ignores this distinction of Mishta v'Simcha, the order, in the way that I just formulated it. The Rambam, here in the end of Parashat Pesach Megillah, says that, you know, characterizes this as if it was Simcha Mishta. B'nei Kfarim Shekadmu, Mitzvah Yom Arbasa L'B'nei Kfarim V'Yaros, Yom Kamishas L'B'nei Krachim L'Yos, Yom Simcha, so he has the Simcha before the Mishta. Obviously he didn't think that was a crucial change. That's the Gemara in Hamad Beis. The Chacham did say that. The fact that the Rambam records it in Yad HaChazaka is significant. He doesn't record every Maimer Chazal. Obviously he considers that echo to be important. Maybe there's a pattern in that, and that he also says Simcha U'Mishta. Rather than Mishta v'Simcha, and then he repeats it. B'nei Kfarim Shekidmu v'Karu B'Sheni B'Chamishu B'Chilku Mo'os L'Avyonim. We'll get back to this. B'Yom Kriyasan Yatsu. Avla Simcha v'Hamishta Einos Nosela B'Yom Yud Dalid V'Mikdimu Lo Yatsa. So again, the Ram consistently refers to Simcha Mishta, not Mishta v'Simcha, but and maybe there's a pattern in that as well. But of course, the Rambam, like the Halacha L'Maskana. Even though he has the echo of the Isur Malacha, but that's only an echo. But he has the Mishta, he has the Simcha Mishta, still has the Matanos Levion. The question is there a pattern here? Why was Matanos Levionim originally excluded and then included? And does it have anything to do with the other two points? So again, with regard to Simcha Mishta, Mishta v'Simcha, that's, again, a much more subtle point, and it's not really obviously crucial to the Rambam, although I think it is important. So we'll leave that out for the moment. But what about the relationship between Yom Tov and Matanos Levionim, which is a little more blatant? So the Sanhedrin Farshim actually do note this. The Nesivos notes it. I don't know if anybody earlier than him noted it. I have to check again. But in these Maor Tanakhs, so just that came out in the last number of years. So they printed the Nesivos' Perush on Hilas Esther, and he asked this question in Pasuk Yates, basically. L'havin siba le'ilu udal advarim shechashav, meaning the four components of Purim, v'gam ma shehichlif Mordechai yom tov v'tziva v'ad yom tov matanos le'avyonim. Okay, why did Yom Tov get removed and matanos le'avyonim get included? Surely that's not just a coincidence. What's that all about? Later than the Nesivos in the modern era, the Torah Tmima noticed it. Again, other people must have noticed it too. I didn't do a survey. It's the ones that I recall seeing. The Torah Tmima has a certain perspective on this. He says basically there is a pattern, but the pattern is opposite of what you might think. Basically, the pattern is that when Purim was going to be considered a Yom Tov, there was no need to make reference to Matanos Lavyonim, because that's obvious. Why is it obvious that if it's a Yom Tov, there's Matanos Lam Yonim? Based on the Rambam in Perek Vav, Hilchos Yom Tov, Halacha Yud Ches, famous Rambam, where the Rambam discusses Simchas Yom Tov in Suda. The Rambam says that Shiva Simeah Pesach, Shmona Simeah Kag, Mshar Yom Tovim, Kulam Asur, Behesman Betainis, Bechai Vodam Lios, Ben Sameach, Betov Lev, Hu Vodav Ishto, Bnei Beso, Kolanil Vimalav, Shinemar Vesamachta Bechagecha, and so on, he explains. Then he explains what is this Vesamachta Bechagecha, Kol Echad Yechad Kiroilo, Ketzad Aktanim, Noslim Kloyos, Egozim, Migdano, Hanashim, Konoslam, Begadim, Takshitim, Naim, Kifi, Mamona. Ha'anashim, Ochem, Basar, Veshosin, Yayin. She'ein Simcha, Lebasar, Ve'ein Simcha, Lebiyayin. Ukash Ochem, Veshos, Achayim, Lahachil, Leger, Leyasim, Ve'almana. Im Shar, Ho'aniyim, Ha'umlalim. Aval, Misha, Noel, Delasal, Tzchatzero. Ve'ochem, Veshos, Ahu, Bona, Ve'ishto, Ve'ein, Amachil, Mashkev, Aniyim, Ulamari, Nefesh. Ein Zu, Simchas, Mitzvah, Le Simchas, Kreisa. Ve'alil, Nemar, Zivchehen, Kalechem, Onim. Not only is he short of the ideal of Simchas Yom Tov, but it's kolon l'lahu lahem, shenema v'zareisi, and so on. And Rambam's very severe comments on this. And then the Rambam continues, "Am pishachil oshtib emodos mechlam b'tzasei lo ya'ochav v'shosu kol hayom kulo elakach yadas." And then he explains the concept or the ideal of chatzil lachem, chatzil Hashem. He also explains in Halacha Chaf, I'll explain why I'm adding these in a minute. Kishadam ochel v'shosav v'sameach v'regel lo yimshach b'yayin v'skoka b'kalas rosh v'yomar shekol mi sheyosif v'zeh v'yarbim b'mitzah simcha shashichrus v'skok harbe v'kalas rosh eina simcha ela holelus v'sichlus v'lodistavenu ala holelus v'sichlus ela simcha sheyesh bo avodas yotzer hakol sh'neam artachas ashe lo amartos Hashem Elokecha b'simcha b'tov leivav halamarta shavoda b'simcha v'yesh alavar Hashem lo mitoch schok lo mitoch kalus rosh v'lo mitoch shichus. Okay, then he goes on to talk about the truancy officers to make sure that the men and the women aren't mixing too much on this day, and so on. That's halakha kafa. Okay, so that's the Rambam Minchas Yom Tov. So basically the Torah Tmima at least quotes the earlier halakha, the halakha of Perek Vav Halacha Yud Ches, where the Rambam says that Hanoshim Ochem Basar Shosin Yain Ukesh Ochem Shosin Chayv Lahachel Legel Yasim Blambada, and he says that's why the Matanos Lavyonim is only introduced later in the three Psukim later, because as long as Purim was going to be viewed as a Yom Tov, so then it was going to include the component of the equivalent of Matanos Lavyonim. And once they drop the Yom Tov, so then where's the Yom Tov going to come from? So the Megillah has to spell it out, has to explicate it in those terms. Okay. This, of course, assumes that the halacha in the end of Hilchos Megillah, or the halacha of Matanos Lavyonim, and the halacha that the Rambam speaks of in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav, are one and the same, that they are the same, same halacha. And that, of course, is subject to, I think, some challenge. Number one, one could just say that the difference between Su'uda, between Simcha v'Su'uda, or Simcha Mishnah, Mishnah v'Simcha, may militate against. I mean, the Rama makes much of the fact, and he's 100% right, and he's undoubtedly 100% right about this on Purim as well, but it has to be tempered a little bit, right? That's why I read it. Afa b'shachidu v'ashtia, okay, that's of course not really true on Purim. Moreover, of course, that's still true when things are out of control on Purim. But we understand that at least the value of drinking, heightening one's consciousness, greater latitude is allowed on Purim. And the question is whether or not the relationship between hachalas and hashkas, aniyim, isn't also different on Purim than it is on a regular Yom Tov. More to the point is the language of the Rambam itself. It's pretty clear, Nochas Yom Tov Perek Vav, that there's no independent halacha, the equivalent of Matanos Lavyonim on Yom Tov. really, this is all, and that's why I read those halachos, this is all part of a larger concern that the Rambam has, and that is that the achila and the shtiyah, which is simcha, shel mitzvah, should be just that, and it shouldn't be holelus v'sichlus. And that's why there shouldn't be too much congregating, and there shouldn't be too much drinking, and there shouldn't be too much su'udah for that matter, either, because the su'udah is measured by, it's gauged, in terms of its spiritual value in very classical terms. So simchas kreso is not acceptable, and kavchomer simchas holilus v'sichlus is not acceptable. Only simchas su'uda shel mitzvah, and one way of evaluating whether or not we're dealing with simchas su'uda shel mitzvah is to see how you treat aniyim. But it's not that per se there's a chiyuv of tzedakah or matnos aniyim, the equivalent of matnos aniyim, it's a shir in su'udas mitzvah, essentially. Moreover, there's no chiyuv to include, yeah. Is it what?
Isn't there a Targ Zvima just saying, though, that when it was all of Mount Shabba to just have it as the end of, so then all of those things would have come mainland?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
One could say that. I mean, you're suggesting, or what he means is as follows. If Purim had been a Yom Tov, so then the Dinim of Hilchos Yom Tov would apply, and it would apply in its own way. And that acknowledge that that's not the same Matanos Levyonim as in Pasuk Chaf Beis.
But once they made the decision,
so not only did they have to mention it, but it takes on a whole different character as well.
Yeah.
I might want to say that. I would want to say that. But that's not what he's saying. He just says, how come it's missing in Pasuk Yotes and it's there in Pasuk Chaf Beis? The answer is it's not missing at all. It's there implicitly because when you say something is a Yom Tov, it's Matanos Levyonim. That's what he says. If he meant otherwise, he didn't say otherwise. But I understand what you're saying. It's good that you want to be Malabai Skos also. Although you don't even Malabai Skos, his perspective is interesting. But obviously, what I'm suggesting is that if there's no chiyuv to find aniyim necessarily and feed them on Yom Tov either. It's a way of establishing that it's not Simchas Kreso, but it's Simchas Su'udas Mitzvah, and the emphasis in the Rambam, although he does say that you should do it, but the contrast is Avamisha Noel Delosos Katsero of Ochal Vishosa, who Banav Ishto, Veno Machal Mashkalanim, Ulamari Nefesh, Ainz Simchas Mitzvah, Simchas Kreso. In other words, there are always such people, and therefore probably you should always include them. But it isn't per se because of the Chiv to include them, it's more that excluding them, right, essentially, casts a giant question mark and shadow on your simcha. Okay, that's of course hugely different than what the Megillah is formulating, which is that there's a positive obligation of matanos levyonim and a certain amount of evyonim that you're supposed to give. That's what the Rambam of course records here in the end of Hilchos Megillah, based on the Gemara, based on earlier on the Psukim. That is clearly that it's a proactive chiyuv. You've got to find aniyim, not just not ignore them. And not only that, but there are shiurim in these things. I don't know exactly what that is. We'll speak about that if we get a chance. But this is a chiyuv of la simcha mishta in osin second matanos levyonim, and then halacha yud. I'm sorry, tes zayin v'chayiv lechalek laniyim biyom apurim. The rules, how much you give. This, of course, has nothing to do with Simchas Kreiso. The fact is, it has nothing to do with, on the surface, it has nothing to do with the Suda, and in Halacha Tezayin, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do even with Simcha. It's simply Chayev L'Chalek L'Aniyim B'Yom HaPurim. It doesn't say B'Shah Suda. It doesn't say anything about the Suda. The next Halacha I'll get to in a second, a little more problematic. Ein pachos m'shnei aniyim, those in the kolecha matana o maos, o minei tavshil, o minei ochlin, you can give whatever you want, you can give maos. It's not the same as Hilchos Yom Tov at all. Sh'nemar matanos levyonim, sh'nei matanos l'shnei aniyim. And then, of course, the Rambam quotes the two other important halachos, which is why Yitzi really wanted me to speak about this. Ein medaktikin v'maos purim, that's the Rishalmi. Rishalmi says, ein medaktikin v'maos purim. El kolapot, it's a very intriguing halacha, that makes it seem like it's different than not only what the Rambam says the Yom Tov, but where he doesn't have this halacha, he doesn't say on Yom Tov ein bedaklikin baniim, no such halacha. Kol poshet yado lital nosim lo. It's not also true in Hilchos Tzedakah. Apparently, there's a special halacha in Hilchos Purim. And also ein mishani mos Purim Tzedakah acheres. First is Yerushalmi, the second is a Gemara in Bab Metzia, daf ayin ches amid beis. So in the same halacha, the Rambam then in halacha Yud Zayin, the Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam says in mutav laadam laharbos b'matnos savyonim laharbos b'sudaso u'b'shiluach manos l'reyav. This is a chiddush of the Rambam. As far as I know, it doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. And the Magen Mishnah says this. He says divrei rabbeinu ru'uyin elav. And I think I mentioned in the past. Also in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav, the Rambam has this whole peroration about Simchas Hollelus and Sichlus. There too, the Magen Mishnah says divrei harambam Rambam ru'uyin elav. That's a pattern too. But basically, if we forget about that for the moment, this is a huge Kiddush in the Rambam. Mutav la'adam, very sensible Kiddush, a very appealing Kiddush, but it doesn't say in the Gemara. Mutav la'adam laharbus matnas advionim laharbus besudaso b'shiluach manos l'reyav. She'ein sham simcha gedolah mufuara elasameach levanim v'yisomim v'amonos v'gerim. So here he does speak about simcha for the first time. The simcha of matanos levionim. That's already in his chiddush about the relationship between them. It's quite possible that according to the Rambam, simcha has absolutely nothing to do with the mitzvah of matanos levionim. Nothing. Indeed, if I'm correct, the diuk earlier is, in halacha yadalid, the Rambam says, b'nei kfarim shekonu v'karu b'sheni v'chamishim kol kamat mos levionim b'yom kriyasan yatsu, aval ha-simcha v'hamishta ein osin osa ela b'yom yadalid v'miktim ola yatsu. If my diuk is correct, in halacha yadalid, the Rambam is contrasting Kriyas HaMegillah and, in particular, Chiluk Mos Levyonim with Simcha Mishta, which can only be Yom Yadalid. The Hachlokas HaMos, the Chalukas HaMos Levyonim is connected with the Kriyas HaMegillah, even if it's earlier, like in the Kfar, Yom Yud Aleph, Yom Yud Beis, Yom Yud Gimel. So not only is that in itself interesting, but the way he says aval simcha v'hamishta. So clearly, the Rambam initially does not formulate matanos levyonim as it did in simcha. Now, certainly not simcha suda. Now, in halacha yud zayin, when he has his chiddush, he says, by the way, even on a simcha level, ein adome these two things. That doesn't mean matanos levyonim the mechayev simcha. It just means that even on a simcha level, even if you talk about simcha sayom, this generates more simcha than the other. And even in this context, one would say, it has nothing to do with simcha sasuda. Right? It has to do with, or being machshir, or beyond any kind of shadow of a doubt, what the motivation and nature of the suda is. Nothing to do with it at all. Just has to do with the independent value of matanos levyonim. So this should be contrasted with the views of other Rishonim, maybe, and especially the Achronim, who speak about it a lot. The Achronim discuss whether or not Matanos Levyonim is a din in Simcha, and how close it is to Mishloach Manos, or it's a din in Tzedakah. That's like the big Chakira in the Achronim. And, there's this drasha of the Chassam Sofer that people quote, that, if you send food to an ani who doesn't have the wherewithal for a Su'uda, that's not Mishloach Manos. That's Matanos Levyonim. So Matanos Levyonim is very much connected to Su'uda, according to many of the poskim. And there are more. Again, we're not going to finish this today, so maybe I'll just finish whatever I don't finish next Monday. But there are a lot of poskim who assume that there's a tight connection with Matanos Levyonim, and that there's a very, very strong link with Su'uda. The Rush in the Sugya of Zayin Rav Beis, and the Gemara says that they were machlif, Su'uda Sayu, that they were aniyim and they didn't have to give, so they just exchanged their own meals with each other. So the Rambam and most Rishonim understand that that's Mishloach Monos Yishnoreyu. And the Rush, famous Rush, says, no, that's Matanos Levyonim. That's about the Su'udas. It could be that the saying is that, the Suda doubles as a Suda, maybe it does all things at the same time. Possible. Yerushalmi has this whole discussion about, basically the Bavli, Bavli and Zayin Beis, but the Shalmi has a different version of it, about Rabbi Yehuda gave to Rabbi Oshia, and Rabbi Oshia was mekabel it as both, Mishloach Moros HaMatanos LeAvyonim, or different girsos here, different versions of it. He was given as Matanos Lev, he was given as Mishloach Manos, and Rabbi Oshia said, for you, Rabbi Yehuda, this is the Yerushalmi version, the Rach quotes, for you, Rabbi Yehuda, that's not Mishloach Manos. So I accept it, but I accept it as Matanos LeAvyonim. Thank you. Very interesting Gemara. So there are strong indications that either, that again, some of these cases might just be overlap. Instead of giving $100, so he's giving Su'udah. But there are strong indications in some of the Makaros that Matanos LeAvyonim is hooked up with the Su'udah and is very much connected with Mishloach Manos. And all the questions that the Achronim deal with, they will just list a little of them on next Monday. He has to be Makabel, he doesn't have to be Makabel, he can do it through Shlichos, he has to know who's getting it, he has to know where it came from, meaning the first he, the donor, the second he, the recipient. These questions that apply to both Mishloach Manos and to Matanos LeAvyonim, so a lot of the posts can discuss, are we Mechalik between them, or are they one halacha? Why? What's the issue? Is Matanos LeAvyonim tzedakah? Is Matanos LeAvyonim about Simcha v'Se'udah? Good. Is Mishloach Manos about Avas Reya, like the famous view in the Achronim, or is it about also just about Seuda? Okay. But what I'm suggesting at the moment is that in the Rambam, none of that is true. It's clear in the Rambam that Simcha u'Mishta have nothing to do with Matanos LeAvyonim, and even in the one halacha where the Rambam speaks about Simcha of Matanos LeAvyonim, it has nothing to do with Seuda. It's just the Simcha of that happens to be greater than the Simcha of either Seuda or Matanos LeAvyonim. So, based on all of this, I think it would be difficult to accept the view that this is the same as Hilchos Yom Tov. From many points of view, I think it's clearly different. Okay. The Rav thought the connection was the opposite. He too noted the difference in Psukim, Yom Tov in one and Matanos LeAvyonim in the other. The Rav said that the opposite of Torah Tumimah. Which is not an unusual phenomenon either, I must say. He said basically that, I don't know if he knew the Torah Tumimah at this point, but I think he was upset with the Torah Tumimah for his view on Makas Choshech. A lot of the Gedolim didn't like that. Okay, anyways, the Rav thought that it was the opposite, that when the Psukim thought that Purim was a Yom Tov, so then there's no tzedakah on Yom Tov, there's no Matanos LeAvyonim. Once it's established that it's a Yom Chol, albeit with Chiyuvim, so then there can also be the Chiyuv of Matanos LeAvyonim. That's how the Rav suggested it, and basically that's what the Nesiva said years earlier. Again, I just saw this the other day because I just got this volume. Nesiva is very interesting. So he raises this question. So he has, very two mahalchim, I guess one could say. One a little complicated, and the other one is a little more straightforward. The first one is basically that there's this machlokes about how to understand what Purim is all about, with what is the chet, and what is the celebration. One perspective is that the chet is about the Su'udah of Achashverosh, and the tikkun of it all is that's why you have Su'udah. And part of the chet was that Klal Yisrael were mefuzar and mefarad. What the way that Haman described them rang true, namely they were fragmented and not united. And the kapara, the tikkun of all of that was when they were able to come together, in the common front was a they were able to turn that su'udas rasha, the zdonos were nasik as chuyos, as he says. So that's the su'udah. And the as for the disunity, that's the Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, and that's what made it a kind of a Yom Tov, because the Mechias HaMalek was like a Tchalta de Geula, it was like the Yitzias Mitzrayim all over again, and that's why there was a Yom Tov. That was one perspective. He says, but that's not the perspective that won the day. The perspective that won the day is no. The real Chet of Klal Yisrael wasn't primarily the Su'udas HaChashverosh, it was the Hishtachava Letzelem of Haman, and the Chil Hashem that included. And for that reason, as much as Klal Yisrael were able to turn things around, they were never able to achieve a full kapara. This is Mahalach. It wasn't an Atchalta Digeula, and therefore it wasn't the Yom Tov, because the Avon of Chil Hashem is something that still plagued them. And that's why they needed Matanas Levyonim. And he quotes a few Gemaras that, you know, Tzedakah is Mechaper, you know, and it's Lehidamos, Mahu Chanun, Atachanun, Mahu Rachum, Atarachum. This is the way to neutralize an incorrigible Chet. So basically, there were two perspectives on, interesting, he's already thinking in these ways, there are two perspectives on what Purim is really all about. Then he has a second Mahalach, which is just, you know, like this easier, simpler, where he basically says, you know, the one perspective was that Purim was about Kimu v'Kiblu Ayhudim, and it was another Shavuos, and the real point was the Kabbalah Satorah Beratzon. So then it's like a Yom Tov. And if it's like a Yom Tov, of course, there's no Tzedakah on Yom Tov. And the second perspective, which is the one that won the day, is no, it's... there may be those elements, but that's not what we're really celebrating. What we're really celebrating is something more basic, the physical salvation of Klal Yisrael. If it's the physical salvation of Klal Yisrael, then it's not a Yom Tov on the one hand, but if it's not a Yom Tov, then the opportunity of Matanos Levyonim, of Tzedakah, is going to apply as well. So this is the perspective, both perspectives of the Nesivos, but the direction is Yom Tov, no Matnos Aniyim, no Yom Tov, Matnas Aniyim, different perspectives. I'd like to suggest, along that, in that direction as well, but a slightly different perspective. What I'd like to suggest is based on a different, slightly different understanding of what Matanos Levyonim is about. Okay. Let me just zero in, I'm just going to take another few minutes, and then maybe speak about it. This on Matanos Levyonim or some other things next Monday. The first is to formulate. I think there are a lot of indications, again, in the Chakira, that people ask whether it's a special obligation of tzedakah on this day or it's a din of simcha and seuda and so on. I think there are indications that it is neither those exactly. That it's not seuda v'simcha primarily, I already mentioned, certainly in the Rambam. As for tzedakah, when the Rambam formulates this halacha, as we already noted, there are two elements that are unique. One is Ein Medaktikin B'Mos Purim, and the other one is Ein Mishanin B'Mos Purim. Now one can still say that it's a special Chiyuv Tzedakah on Purim. Right? It's Tzedakah Plus. And therefore you have this consequence. Except that, in a certain way, these two consequences don't necessarily go hand in hand. In one case, we seem to be very strict that B'Mos Tzedakah on Purim is being used properly, right? Even though generally we have flexibility when it comes to Dmei Tzedakah, that when it comes to Mos Purim, it has to be spent in a very specific way. And the other, on the other hand, is kind of a more flexible perspective. Normally, we should be very careful who we give the Dmei Tzedakah to, make sure we're not wasting Dmei Tzedakah. Right? On the one hand, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, it's Mamon Tzedakah, and it should go to Aniyim. You have to be careful about it. And here, Kol Misha Poshet Es Yado, you give him, you trust him, and so on. Now again, it doesn't have to be a stira. They do work a little bit at cross purposes. It doesn't have to be a stira. You could say, well, we're more liberal in relying on people, and therefore it's not considered, you know, Shinui Minatzdaka. But all I'm saying is, you have two unusual halachos here. At least we can raise the question, is this regular tzedakah or something a little bit different? Moreover, the shiurim, the fact that you have to give two aniyim, how much do you have to give? The normal halacha and tzedakah is day machsoro asher yachsar lo. You give, what the person needs. That's not the shiur of tzedakah on this day. There's a huge machlokas what that shiur is. The ritva says you can get away with a pruta. The ritva in Megillah. And that same story of Rav Oshia and Rav Yehuda. And they, Marshav, in the Kedusha Gados, and all that Chorna pick up on it, says exactly the opposite. He understood the story the opposite way. That if anything, Matanos Levyonim has a higher shear even than Mishloach Matos. You have to give a Matana Chashuva. So not just a din of Nesina, it's a din of Matana. There's a difference between Nesina, which is a Kol Shu, and Matana, which is... So, but neither of those are the regular shear, not the amount of Aniyim you give to, nor how much you give of tzedakah and kol ha'tor. So maybe it's just a specialized tzedakah, or maybe it's something else. Firstly, we should note that the Megillah speaks about not matanos la'aniyim, but matanos la'evyonim. The Rambam actually, in this point, doesn't help us. The Rambam pretty much drops evyonim and translates evyonim into aniyim. Rambam, of course, lists mishloach manos la'aniyim, matanos la'evyonim, but when he explains the details, again, here in Halacha, Tazayin v'chayv l'chalik l'aniyim, and so on. Doesn't mention evyonim. He does speak about umlalim, mesamech lev umlalim, shvelim, nidkaim, but the, clearly doesn't mean to give that. The Aruch HaShulchan has this interesting discussion. Is it better to give evyonim or aniyim? Well, the pasuk says evyonim. So is it evyonim preferred or only? Or is it afilu evyonim? Why afilu evyonim? What's the difference between evyonim and aniyim? So the Gemara in Bav Metzia, this is what he quotes, Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Kuf Yun Aleph on the base, the Gemara speaks about paying poalim, money that you owe them. Spoke about it yesterday a little bit, right? Oshek. So the Gemara says, if you have only wages to pay one worker, and you have an Ashir, an Ani, and an Evyon, what you should do is you should pay the Ani. You pay the Ani before the Ashir, you pay the Ani before the Evyon. Now the Ani before the Ashir, we understand. The Ashir doesn't need it. The Ani before the Evyon, why? After all, what is an Evyon? Evyon is a person who is worse off than an Ani. He's in desperate straits. He's Ta'ev L'chol Davar, as Rashi puts it. So one would think that since he's in worse straits, and that's what the Gemara says, I might think that Evyon before Ani, and Rashi explains, because he's even more impoverished than the Ani is. Kamash Milan, the difference is that an Ani is not embarrassed. An Ani is embarrassed to ask. And an Evyon is a person who aggressively will ask. He'll be poshet yad, he'll ask. And therefore, we're more concerned when it comes to Oshek, with the Ani, than we are with the Evyon. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now that, I think, is a very telling Gemara. So basically, the Aruch HaShulchan Safek is, well, maybe when we say Matanos LaEvyonim, we mean Evyonim Dafka. I'm sorry, we mean Evyonim Afilu. Because, after all, you see from the Gemara there that Ani is, in a way, in greater need, not his financial situation, but he's more shy. You know, he has a greater sense of self-respect. Therefore, he's not going to ask. So that you have to give aniyim on Purim is obvious. Even avyonim, who are aggressive, they'll go after you. Even them, you have to give. Or is it the opposite? Now, why would it be the opposite? For two reasons. Number one, because an avyon is in more desperate straits than an ani. But I wonder whether isn't something additional, and that is precisely what makes the Ani superior to the Evyon in Maror Bamitzia may make the Evyon more critical to the halacha of Matanos Levyon. That is, basically Chazal have this view that the Evyon is someone who has lost his self-respect and he's lost his hope. His kavod abrios has been forsaken. He's been misyayish. An Ani is in terrible need, but he still has held on to his dignity. He still conducts himself according to the mainstream. The Evyon does not. So I think it's possible to suggest that that's not only a reflection of the fact that he is even more impoverished, but that that may be the Mechayiv of Matanos Lo Evyon. And what I mean by that is exactly this point. Lo Yechadal Evyon Mikerav Haaretz. Evyon is a kind of desperation. It's people who just aren't just poor, but they've kind of dropped off from the mainstream completely, and they don't have any identification with the tzibur. They basically live a life of yush. So I'd like to suggest is that maybe, I'm speculating, maybe Evyon is the primary category of Matanos Levyonim. And maybe that's also the Pshat in Yerushalmi that Ein Medaktikin B'matnos Evyonim. The idea is as follows. If a person is poshet yad, now here I think you have to make an important distinction. Right? There are always charlatans and cynics out there, who will do anything to get a dollar. So, somebody can be very wealthy and he's still collecting tzedakah. I think it's rare that somebody's very wealthy and doing that, but there are people who this is what they do. That's not what we're talking about. But ein medaktikin b'tzedakah, a person who, let's say he could get by without it. Okay, but he's not embarrassed to beg. So when it comes to Purim, ein medaktikin b'matnos avyonim. Because part of the issue of matnos avyonim isn't just the financial need. It really is the sense of loss of dignity. So a person whose self-image is such, and who's connection to, kavod habrios and to the rest of society is such that he can be poshet yado to get tzedakah when he doesn't fully need it. Such a person is in the category of avyonim. He's taiv. He's beneath that level of kavod habrios. I'm speculating when it comes to Purim. In other words, what I'm really trying to suggest here is that maybe the mechayiv of matnos aniyim is not really tzedakah at all. And for that reason, again, ein mishanin b'mos Purim. The real idea in matanos le'avyonim is to provide people who need it hope. And in a sense, it's a Purim theme, because Purim isn't just about, it's not only about the hatzalah and the simcha and the seuda. Right? It's about the transition from a state of helplessness and hopelessness, the sak, the efer, and the bechi, and all of that, but still being able to engage in tefillah, not losing bitachon to such an extent, not losing one's kavod habrios, to be able to rebound, to be able to see the possibilities in the Rabbanu Shalom's world for getting back on one's feet. And therefore, matanos le'avyonim is a crucial component in Purim. Had Purim been a Yom Tov, then that whole theme, right, Shabbosim and Yom Tovhi Milizok, that whole theme of umlalut would have no place, except maybe, like in Hilchos Yom Tov, to make sure that the Seuda is a Seudas Mitzvah, not a Seudas Kreisa. But they decided that isn't what Purim is going to be about, and that Purim is going to be not only about the result of the Yeshua, but about the whole gamut, the whole concept of Hashgacha, the whole concept of not being Messiahish, the transition from Tanis Esther into the night of Purim, into the day of Purim. And I think that might be the pshat, if it's correct, of, this concludes, I've already gone to overtime, Einem shalaniyim nisuos lemikra megillah. We say that even though the Suda and the Mishloach Manos, all of that is only going to be on Yudalad, and Yudalad during the day. But if the Kriyas HaMegillah is Bikfarim, is earlier, so then the halacha is Einem shalaniyim nisuos lemikra megillah. So what if Einem shalaniyim nisuos lemikra megillah? So let them exhibit a little bit of patience. I mean, that's a reason to change the halacha, but it's not Purim. I think it's more than that. The point is, the story of the Megillah, Einem shalaniyim nisuos lemikra Megillah. Nisuos, I think, is a very interesting phrase here. Meaning, the inspiring story of the Mikra Megillah, when you hear it, the nahafochu, the ability to snatch victory no matter how debased you are, is connected to matanos le'avyonim. And that lift that the aniyim get from in medaktikin, from the empathy to their plight, not only financial, but their lack of kavod habrios, the fact that they have reached that point, that is something that is connected to the story of Mikra Megillah. The Baal HaMor thinks that it's actually the chiyuv, the ideal time for matanos le'avyonim, all things being equal, would really be the time of Kriyas HaMegillah. The Rambam thinks it's a reshus, it's a heter, but it's certainly not a chiyuv. What's also interesting is the question of whether you have to wait for your dalit or not, your dalit during the day or not. So many of the poskim say that just like Mishloach Manos, Matanas Levyonim is Dafka Yudalid during the day. And if it's connected to Seuda, and even if it's connected to Tzedakah, it's very possible. But the Prima Gadim, at least, considers the possibility that maybe even on Tanis Esther, and certainly on Kriya of the night of Yudalid, maybe that would also be a time at least to give the Matnos Evyonim. Maybe it should only be eaten, L'Seuda, or spent on the next day. And I think it might be connected again to this idea of Einayim Shalaniyim, or maybe we should say better, Einayim Shalavyonim, Nesuos L'Mikra Megillah. And if this is true, so we understand very well that Matanos Levyonim, although a later addition, represents really a crucial component, not only in that particular mitzvah, but in the entire theme of Purim as well. So maybe we'll continue with this and some other issues next Monday. I'm going to went a little over time, so I apologize. We'll be back in 1 second.
Particular empathy for someone who's not, and we're going to give them even more than we would. but it's a different way to that there is a way to just turn it.
Sorry? No, what I'm saying is that's also part of the transition. That's not a Yom Tov halacha. That's part of the Yom Tov Shel Chol part of Purim. Because Shabbos Yimelizak, Yom Tov Yimelizak, we wouldn't be emphasizing but not because it's an Iser Tzedakah or there's no Chiyuv Tzedakah per se. Or maybe that's because of that too. But I'm saying this idea of Umlalut and so on is
not
a Yom Tov. Right. Yom Tov, everybody's supposed to behave like a Melech. And on Purim, we want to bring people who aren't Malachim and who we acknowledge aren't, I don't mean Malachim, I mean mainstream members of society. We want to show them that there's hope, that there's a foundation for a turnaround and stuff. Okay. I'm sorry we're a little late. Let's pick up where we were yesterday and try to finish off this point. What we did yesterday was we began to analyze the different perspectives on the Rambam's Shita. Ram has the stira in Hilchos Ishus, he paskins Mekadesh Milva Eina Mekudeshes. In Hilchos Mechira, Rambam paskins in Perakei Alach Dalid and Perak Zayin Alach Dalid that Milva works in Mecher. In Talpan, it works to be Mekabla Mishapara.